earlier this year, California became the 28th state to require that hospitals tell the public how many people get infections while in their care. Patient advocates pushed for these laws out of frustration with hospitals and state regulators who said reducing these sometimes deadly infections wasn't really a priority. But does this kind of public shaming really work? Sarah Varney reports.
What's worse, losing face or losing money? That psychological quandary could be critical to ridding the nation's hospitals of avoidable infections like MRSA and other antibiotic-resistant bugs. Under a barrage of state laws and Medicare rules passed over the last few years, hospitals are now forced to report infections, risking their reputations as sterile sanctuaries, or refuse to comply and face financial penalties, all of which has left hospital administrators, like Clark Todd of Pacific Hospital in Long Beach, weighing the costs of fessing up with the costs of fines.
If we hide it from the public, then the tendency to keep the status quo is stronger than ever, and that's just not going to get the job done.
And there is a job to get done. As a result of infections from routine surgeries and everyday hospital care, like catheters that deliver food, water, and medicine to patients, some 100,000 people die every year in the U.S. Millions more are harmed.
You can't have this kind of rate of error in the airline industry, or you're shutting your doors. You're done.
Leah Binder is CEO of Leapfrog, a group of large employers that pushes for public reporting.
When a patient gets an infection in the ICU, it adds maybe $42,000 to the cost of their visit. That's just one individual. The costs to employers are enormous.
Those costs, in dollars and human lives, are largely avoidable, say federal health officials. Indeed, scores of hospitals across the nation have effectively eliminated infections. At Pacific Hospital in Long Beach, hand washing is so routine, the nurses complain their hands are chapped.
Hospitals are dirty. We clean very good certain areas. We wash our hands. We demand clean uniforms, but we don't clean the patients.
The hospital hired Dr. Alfonso Torres Cook 5 years ago to bring down its infection rate. When he arrived, Torres Cook says the medical staff viewed infections as largely unavoidable and treated them with antibiotics. Instead, under Torres Cook's direction, nurses now wash patients every day. The air in the hospital gets cleaned using UV light, and janitors are given enough time to properly clean rooms. CEO Clark Todd was an early believer in publishing the hospital's infection rate, even before California law forced him to do so. But he says the public reporting laws and financial penalties from private insurers and Medicare have helped his cause.
I think that gives administrators like me even more reason to get involved in this matter and more clout with their medical staffs to work against some of these traditional behaviors.
Pacific Hospital's very low infection rate has no doubt caught the attention of competitors and potential customers, and it's become a source of pride for its employees. Indeed, researchers have found that concern over public image is a more powerful motivator than even fear of losing market share. One study of Wisconsin hospitals found public reporting spurred long-term quality improvements. In Pennsylvania, which has the toughest reporting law in the nation, infection rates have plummeted. Still, the stigma of infections and fear of lawsuits can make hospitals reluctant to report. When the law went into effect in California, 19 hospitals out of 400 didn't send in any data. At this point, state regulators aren't imposing penalties. There are other concerns. Competitors may undercount, making more honest players look bad. And some hospitals simply do more surgeries or have sicker patients.
It is absolutely true that the measures are not perfect and don't adequately account for some of the differences among patients.
The powerful hospital lobbying group, the American Hospital Association, supports public reporting, says Vice President Nancy Foster. But she says that alone won't stop infections.
What we know is that you need good science around what should be done for the patients.
There are proven techniques, for example, to prevent central line bloodstream infections caused by tubes inserted into large veins. But urinary tract infections, often caused by urinary catheters, are not as well understood.
We know one of the best things we can do is to get the catheter out of the patient as quickly as possible. But given the complexity of patients, it's not always possible to get the catheter out very rapidly. And so knowing how to prevent that infection when a patient has to have a catheter for a long time is really still science in the works. it is not yet a perfected system.
It will be some time before patients can know the full risk of entering their local hospital. Most states publish just a short list of infections. Even Medicare is starting off slow, asking hospitals to report only catheter-associated infections this year. Those that don't forfeit 2% in their reimbursements. For patients who come to the hospital hoping to get well, this double-barreled approach, public reporting and amped-up financial sanctions, may be the best cure for what has proven to be a chronic condition in hospitals. For Health Dialogues, I'm Sarah Varney.
To see photos of Sarah Varney's visit to Pacific Hospital of Long Beach and to see what they're doing to combat hospital-acquired infections, go to our website, healthdialogues.org.